On this episode of Bite-Sized, we are watching and discussing the 27th scene of the movie Twilight. For those of you watching along at home, that is from 3453 to 3608. And now, on to the episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Bite-Sized. My name is Ben. I'm your host. Here's what's going on for those of you joining for the very first time. I am watching the movie Twilight one scene at a time, the worst possible way. And I'm doing this with a different guest every week. We are talking about the 30 seconds to 3 minutes of movie that we have to discuss. Joining me today, let me pull up those titles we worked so hard on, is a comedian, a writer, and an improviser. You could say performer, but that basically encompasses two out of those three things. Haley Carlson.
Hi. I'm so happy to be here.
Thanks. Welcome to Bite Size. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. I cannot wait to talk about Twilight. I really can't.
Okay, great. Well, then let's get right into it. I don't want to make you wait any longer
Please,
than you have to.
Don't.
I'm going to start this off the way I start off every interview on the show. That is by asking you, what is your history with the Twilight franchise?
My history with Twilight is deep, stormy, passionate.
Yikes.
But not public. I wasn't a person who ever attended the premieres, but I was a person whose copy of the original Twilight book has the spine broken and pages falling out from returning to certain scenes too many times.
Okay, well now we're going to get deep into this.
Uh-huh.
When did you first find out about Twilight? Around what year, what age would you say?
I'm thinking middle school. Middle school and Twilight are very deeply intertwined.
Middle school for you being around...
Let's see. Okay, if I...
When was this before the...
You didn't
the
say there
year?
Was math Here's, involved.
Was it before the movies came out?
It was before the movies.
Okay, great. You're an early adopter.
Yes. Yeah. I'd been hearing some rumor about it, mm-hmm. some discussion, but it hadn't quite taken off yet.
Yeah. Okay.
My friends and I were absolutely obsessed with it.
Yeah.
In a deeply sick way.
Okay. What was so sick about it? Be specific.
The pages were falling out of the book. We'd be having sleepovers. We would just read the same passage over and over and over again.
What parts would you read this aloud? I have so many questions. I'm going to start one at a time. What parts were you coming back to?
I predicted you were going to ask this, and mm-hmm. I was trying to remember. But when I think about Twilight, it's just sort of a haze. As I watched the clip earlier, I realized I have no idea what happens in the book anymore.
Really?
It's just when I think of Twilight, I think of Edward and Bella and him loving her and him being obsessed with her and him showing up in her room.
Yeah.
And just the feeling I got when I read it. Plot wise, not a clue. Not a clue what happens anymore.
Okay. Did you leave Twilight? When was the last time? I mean, I'm assuming you saw the movies at some point.
Don't think I ever finished the last movies.
Really?
What was the last movie?
Well, the last movie was, of course, Breaking Dawn Part 2.
I didn't see it.
Really?
I also have a bad habit of not finishing series off.
Okay.
Did it with Harry Potter as well.
That's fine.
I haven't seen the last few of those.
Yeah.
I might not have even read the last book of Twilight.
What happened?
The star burned bright and fast.
I guess.
And intensely.
Yeah.
I even wrote a Maid of Honor speech about Twilight.
Really?
That's how much we loved it, because my best friend, we were obsessed.
Do you remember any of it? And can you recite it for us here? Yeah, the speech.
It was actually deeply moving.
Mm-hmm.
It was about this idea of wanting so desperately as a middle schooler to be like swept off our feet and chosen as like the special one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Bella is just like a little terracotta pot for you to put your personality into.
Uh-huh.
And we wanted so desperately to be special and chosen, but about how love and relationships and marriages are really about choosing to choose each other and not be so special that you're chosen, but like working to create that connection.
That's really good.
I thought so too. The photographer said it was one of the best speeches she'd seen at a wedding. So.
I've only given one speech at a wedding, and I feel profoundly bad about it, and that makes
you
me
feel
worse.
Bad about
I
it?
Feel terrible about
what
the
happened?
One speech. I was the best man in my brother's wedding.
Uh-oh.
It's possible he's listening to this right now, or his wife, who was also at that wedding. Apologies to both of you right now.
I want them to call in and tell me their thoughts about your speech.
I will. I hope. This is one of my biggest regrets in life, honestly,
I
is just
so
how
many
bad
questions.
I fumbled this one. It was...
Did you improvise it?
Yeah, a little
bit.
Oh,
no.
Haley,
Ben.
This was 2015. I'd been doing improv for about 13 months.
And you were like, I've got this.
Yes, long enough for me to be like, I know what I'm doing. I do this all the time. I can do this. And I found like some quote that I liked that was like, marriage is not about finding the one person you can live with. It's about finding the one person you can live without.
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
Cool, I got
I'll run
that.
With it.
I'll start there. We'll go with it. It'll be great. And I get up to do my speech and I say that thing. And then I'm sort of like, well, all right. And now a toast. And it was so short. It was maybe three or four sentences.
Oh, no.
And I felt like I immediately realized, no one, oh, I should have written. I should have like worked on this.
Did it ruin the rest of the wedding for you?
No, other things did that. specifically someone thinking that we were going to run out of food and asking me to go pick up some pizzas that wound up not getting eaten because we didn't run out of food.
At least you didn't start with marriage.
No, I didn't.
Then you're already a step above most.
That's good.
Or yeah. Webster's Dictionary defines love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and yet I didn't do much better than that.
Uh-huh.
And I wouldn't even say I did worse than that. I'd say what I did was about on parallel with that.
I hope you get another chance someday. I think you could do better now.
Okay. You saying I hope my brother gets remarried for some reason, or
do you know anyone else who could get married, or those
apparently
that's the only
not.
Person you know?
Apparently I've been to a lot of weddings. That's the only one I've been in.
Well, they heard about your performance.
Hopefully I mean I got some close friends that aren't married now, and hopefully I'm close enough to get in there on one of them. I just think my best man days are behind me.
Yeah,
that's fine. I made peace with that a long time ago.
Speeches, they're a skill. That kind of speech, it's a skill.
And like, I did, not to get too back into this, but like I did so much public, I did like mock trial in high
uh-huh.
school and college. I was like, oh, public speaking, I do this all the time, I'm gonna nail it. I got the improv, it's gonna be a slam dunk.
Yep.
And it was just awful. And I'm sure it's one of those
wow.
things that no one else thinks about.
Maybe.
But like, I think about it at least once a month about this horrible, awful job I did. Anyway, that's not about Twilight. This podcast is about Twilight. So at some point you give up on Twilight.
Yeah.
Somewhere around perhaps Eclipse.
When I think of Twilight, it's in terms of sense memory.
Mm-hmm.
So middle school infused with Twilight in its very bones.
Yeah.
High school, no Twilight at all.
Do you think there's maybe like a sense of like, that's a child thing that I liked in middle school. I'm an adult now. I'm like trying to move on from it.
No, and not purposeful at all.
Okay.
That just the hyper-focus and the deep, intense sort of addiction to Twilight, it
yeah.
just faded. And I never was obvious about it. Like I said before, like I didn't like write Edward on my jeans, and well, actually I might have sharpied Edward on my Converse.
Okay.
But I didn't go to the premieres or make posters or anything.
Yeah.
Maybe just because it wasn't as big yet. What year did the book come out?
I think the first book comes out in 2005, and the first movie was in 2008.
So I graduated high school in 2011. When does that put me in 7th and 8th grade?
That was, oh man.
Math.
So that would have been what, 2005?
Okay, I think 2006, 2007-ish is...
Yeah, no, that sounds right.
Yeah.
That sounds better than
yeah.
the thing I said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When so that's still, so it had been out for a couple years, but it maybe hadn't really taken off yet.
Okay.
Maybe it had.
Okay.
I don't know anything.
You were still in high school when Eclipse the movie came out. But Breaking Dawn Part 1 came out after you graduated.
Okay.
So maybe that's...
Yeah. No, it just naturally faded away. I
okay.
had things to do.
Got
I was
it.
Doing theater, speech and debate.
Yeah.
I guess I had an actual boyfriend. Maybe that affected things.
Okay.
That I didn't need to be a little terracotta clay pot anymore.
Interesting. Have you returned to Twilight as an adult?
I have not.
Really?
After watching this clip and realizing I have no idea what happened in the book anymore,
really?
I'm going to.
Okay. They're hard to miss. They're sort of every, like, if you turn on
yeah.
a TV, there's
no,
probably...
No, I'm just going to read it again, I
okay.
think.
Okay, yeah.
And then maybe watch the movie.
Sure, go for it. Let's get into the clip we're talking about today. We watched a little over a minute of movie from 3453 to 3608. Here's a short overhead view of the scene. We're at, like, a dock, a little boat state area.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy, his name's Waylon, in case you forgot.
I did.
Yeah, he's in one other scene.
Is he?
In this movie. Well, aww. Yeah, because it kind of ends with him dying.
He gets an arc.
I think an arc, you have to have more than 2 points, I guess.
He gets a line.
He gets a line. Yes. is the way that works. Yeah. He's in his boat. He's hanging out, having just a good time. Probably going to go out, do something on that boat. But then some vampires come in and presumably eat him.
Presumably.
Presumably. Now let's get into it on a more detailed level.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's...
I have so many thoughts.
Well, I'm going to let you start then. What's on the top of your mind?
First...
Because I probably have written down something.
Why is he wearing his headphones that way?
Yeah, I know, that was a great question. He is wearing headphones and listening to some music.
Backwards.
Upside down, I would say.
Upside down.
The part that's supposed to go on your head...
is around his front neck.
Is like under his chin.
Like a necklace, like a chin strap.
Like he's in marching band and that's the chin strap of his big hat.
I had to watch the clip like four times to figure out. I thought he had like a visor on that he was removing. I thought it was a visor because I thought he was preparing drugs on the boat.
Really?
What is he doing? What's he fiddling with at the very beginning?
It looks like he's working on like an outboard motor. He's just doing a little mechanic work on his boat, getting it, you know, all set up to go out for probably some fishing or something.
Oh, I thought he was doing drugs.
No.
Because then he takes a puff of something.
Probably. And he's got like a bottle of liquor.
Oh, he's
there.
Fully drinking.
He's, like, drink. Some
whiskey
he's
with drunk,
him.
I think.
Yeah. You get the sense that that's sort of, he's the
town. And he's also got
drunk.
A Kiss Me, I'm Irish shirt
he
on.
Does, just in time for St. Patrick's Day, which as we record this is over a week away still.
But still relevant.
Still, see, you know, we're in that time. If you go to a Jewel Osco, you'll see some green cookies set out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he is wearing his headphones down under his chin. As a man with a big head, I kind of get it. That there are some things that if you put on and are too small, it can get kind of painful or maybe don't reach all the way. But like...
sure,
they're gonna fall off a lot if you wear them like
that.
It just
seems like a weird choice because for a movie, now I'm just thinking about what the hell's on your head,
right? And like, why, who made the decision to have him put the headphones on upside down? Was that him as an actor thinking
maybe
this is
it
what
was
my character would do, I guess,
for his line, for his arc?
Yeah, because he's, you know, a weird, goofy guy who does things.
I mean, he's singing in the beginning.
Right.
He's got a nice voice.
Does he?
Mama said, didn't know how to make a kid of meow.
It's pleasant.
Okay.
I bet he's
trained. Like, he's got like actor singing voice.
Exactly.
Of like, you know, you can always tell in movies when an actor is trying to sing badly, but they actually have taken a lot of vocal lessons.
Yes.
And their idea of singing badly is still better than most actual bad singers.
That's it, exactly. He's got a strong voice, but he's like, I'm drunk.
Right.
Yeah.
He is singing a song. I looked it up. This song is, he made it up.
Did he?
Yeah.
No, really?
No, for serious. Like, because if you Googled what he sings, this is the only thing that comes up. And like, I found somewhere that he made this up because the only line.
Something about mama?
Mama said, didn't know how to make a kitty cat meow.
Mama said, didn't know how to make a kitty cat meow.
Yeah, that's it. That's a pretty accurate recreation of it right there.
That makes it even better. But there's music in the background.
There is music coming out of the headphones. And there's music in the background of the scene.
So they maybe just gave him like a backing track.
I tried really hard. I have to assume that like day of when they're actually shooting this, there's no music coming out of those headphones.
True.
Just from a sound perspective. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm guessing they don't want to like have to clear the rights to some music. That's why they had him just make something up. So he has the headphones, he puts them on upside down, there's nothing coming out of them, and they say, act like you're listening to music. And this is what he does. He sings a little bit about making a kitty cat meow.
He's really making the whole thing a meal.
Yeah, he really is. But then like they put in some music that sounds like it's coming out of the headphones.
Yeah, sort of tinny.
Right. And I like really tried to listen. I like turned it up all the way, listened as close as I could, cannot make it out.
Does it sound like there's lyrics in the track that he's listening to?
It does, yeah.
Okay.
But there's
no
way. So
maybe they just took his voice, compressed it,
put it on top. That's what they definitely got, just some royalty-free country song or whatever, and put it in knowing that no one would ever notice or listen to it.
Ha ha.
But yeah, he completely makes that up.
Yeah.
You do musical improv.
I do.
What's your estimation of his ability to make up a song there?
The confidence that he delivered it with?
Yeah.
Prime.
Okay.
It sounds like a real song. I assumed it was a real song.
I did too, actually. Until I, like, the reason I figured this out is because I was like, I wonder what song that is.
Yeah.
And I Googled the lyrics, and apparently this is it.
So in terms of delivery and confidence, he's absolutely nailing it.
He's killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything more would have been too much. If he started rhyming, if he was rapping in there.
Right.
Too much.
Oh, for sure. Excessive.
No, because he just has to set up like this sort of, I'm happy to be alive. Soon I won't be.
Yeah, just like your sort of weird dad's friend or uncle type. Mm-hmm. You know, we all know
it's like a swamp guy.
Like him. He's a swamp guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One like my people, a swamp guy. I spent a lot of time in swamps.
It does have a swamp feel, though, doesn't it?
A little bit.
It doesn't feel like Washington.
It doesn't feel very Pacific Northwest.
No,
it definitely feels a little
more
southern.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like he's listening to some like old Hank Williams or Waylon Jennings, uh-huh. old country or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, the vibe is different.
It is, for sure. And he's just going to go fish and drink and just have a good old time.
Yeah. And then we get like this NCIS murder music.
Well, before that, though, I do have another question about the song.
Go ahead. More about the song.
Do you know how to make a kitty cat meow?
So wait, what are the lyrics again?
Mama said, and it drops, he kind of drops out. So it's either said, it's Mama said, don't know how to make a kitty meow. And it is that Mama said, I don't know. Mama said, she does. We don't know who doesn't know how to make a kitty meow. But Mama said that someone doesn't know how to make a kitty meow. I don't know what that means.
I think that's a euphemism.
It does sound a little sexual.
Absolutely sexual.
But do you know how to make a kitty meow?
Maybe like a light shake.
Okay.
Maybe a... Oh my, there's a cat coming toward the mic.
I've got a kitty right here, and I would like you to try to make him meow.
Okay, I'm not going to shake your cat.
No.
Meow, say meow. Say meow, come on. Meow. Say meow. Say meow. He's batting at me.
It's not working.
No.
I'm sorry.
Maybe like a squeeze would do it?
Maybe. I see it. The only way to make a kitty meow, mm-hmm. in my experience, is to annoy it enough.
And it's not my cat. I'm not going to annoy your cat.
And I really do appreciate it. I was worried about putting one of my cats in trouble there. Usually, cats only meow when they want something. Here's a fun fact about cats.
Ready?
They communicate with each other non-verbally, unless they're like really mad or something.
Oh.
And meowing as a like... I completely lost the word. Meowing as like an activity or as like an asking for help is something that only baby cats do.
Oh.
When it's basically like crying.
Like crying.
And so if a cat meows at you, it's acting like a little baby because it needs your
help.
Hey,
I'm a baby.
Wah, give me food. Open the door. Yes. Meow. That's
like
what's
the human
happening.
Is not responding to my subliminal cat messaging.
Right.
Guess I better cry like a little baby.
And so since kitties only meow when they need something from you, the only way to make a kitty meow uh-huh. is to...
Deprive it.
Is to annoy it or make
it
want you to stop doing
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that to Blaine.
I know, I appreciate that.
Sorry, Blaine.
No, Blaine...
If I had to, if it came down to it, if it was life or death, make this cat meow, I could do it. Put the cat on mic.
He's not going to say anything.
Not yet.
If I had a third mic, I would absolutely put it in front of him.
A little kitty
and
mic.
And wait for him to meow.
Meow.
That was not the kitty.
Could have been.
That was Haley.
Could have been.
No,
okay.
That's not what he sounds like. No.
What does he sound like?
You're cheating.
What does he sound like?
He'll tell you when
he'll
he's ready.
He'll tell you.
Yeah.
I bet it's like a...
Yeah.
Is it?
No, it's not. It was more like a cow noise. He's not that. Let's get back into Twilight.
All right.
So he's doing that. He's mm-hmm. drinking. He's getting ready his boat.
Yeah.
And then he hears a noise, a yes. whooshing noise.
Yes.
And then he turns around and he asks... I had to look it up. I couldn't quite make out the name he was
asking.
He
said like something with a G or something?
Yeah, according to the internet, he says Gerald.
Hello?
I don't know.
I heard Charles. I heard Doug. I heard a bunch of things, but I'm going with Gerald because that's what
Gerald.
The internet
Gerald.
Tells me.
So he's waiting for Gerald.
Maybe, or like the sound he hears, like the quick whooshing noises, is not a sound that I think someone named Gerald would be able to make. And so it's a little odd to me that he hears that and thinks uh-huh. maybe that might be Gerald.
It's well, classic horror movie logic.
It really is.
Because this whole scene is completely different tonally. I was
yeah.
watching this, I was like, what the hell is this even from?
You know, it is really not like, when you think Twilight, you obviously think high school romance
I think
type
kissing
of story.
And only kissing.
Yes. And there's no kissing
there's
in this.
No kissing.
Probably.
In this. Not that we see.
We don't see any kissing in this scene. And we don't see like any young teenagers in this scene. We just see sort of the sloppy guy and the three vampires.
Mm-hmm. Spoiler,
I guess. Yeah, it's not spoiler. It's not Gerald. It's James
it's
and Victoria and Laurent.
Yeah.
Laurent.
I had to Google them.
They're, yeah.
I watched this and I said, who the hell are these guys? And that's when I realized how much I had lost.
Wow, that's sad.
That as well, I think I'm just thinking I made way for other things.
Okay, what did you replace then? What went in your head as Twilight left?
Maybe algebra?
Maybe? Well, that was a waste.
I love algebra.
Really?
Yeah.
Do people ask you to be on algebra podcasts?
Not yet.
Okay.
Here's hoping.
Yeah.
So that's when I realized I had to Google the summary on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And to remember the whole plot. In my head, there was no conflict to the movie.
Yeah. Really? No.
But the conflict was he's a vampire.
Right.
You know, the lion and the lamb situation.
Uh-huh.
Not that she's being hunted because she smells too good.
No, yeah, there's absolutely bad vampires in this.
I forgot about that completely.
This is something we talked a little bit about on the last episode, where sometimes Twilight stops being a movie about, like, high school romance and starts being like tries to convince you that it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
And we're sort of in the middle
of that at all.
That stretch right now where it's like it is weirdly like, well, we got vampires, we got to make it like a vampire movie.
Yeah.
And you know, I admire the attempt, but I guess maybe if I was watching this movie for the very first time and didn't know what it was about, maybe it would be more powerful. But I like as I watch this, I'm like, come on, Twilight, this is not you.
Exactly. I was so confused. I thought you almost sent me like the wrong thing, or was like, is this from Breaking Dawn or something? It feels like a Law and Order episode.
No, it really does. And it doesn't help that there are, as you sort of mentioned, there's really no major characters in this scene.
Yeah.
Like, we've got Waylon. This will be his last scene. We've got the three bad vampires who are sort of, you know, villains in through this movie, but aren't remembered.
They lack depth.
Yeah.
You can just even tell from the lines they say.
Yeah.
What? God, what did he say?
Hello.
Nice jacket.
Who are you?
It's always the same inane question. Who are you?
What do you want?
Why are you doing this? James, let's not play with our food.
Which brings me to one of my favorite things to do on this show, which is when a question is asked in on the movie, ask it to my guest. So who are you? What do you want? Why are you doing this?
Hey, I'm Haley.
Yeah.
Haley Carlson.
Uh-huh.
That's who I am. What do I want? Man.
You want man? There's a man right here.
Hey,
and his
Blaine.
Name is Blaine.
I'll take Blaine.
No, you can't take him. He's mine.
Fine. You ask what I want.
My precious boy.
I want a cinnamon roll that's gooey all the way to the sides.
Oh, that's an excellent, excellent want.
Yeah.
The middle of the cinnamon roll truly is the best part.
I'm always like, I want a cinnamon roll. And then I eat a cinnamon roll. It's like eating a toilet paper tube.
Yeah. You got the
What's
awful dry
on?
Outer rings. Yeah.
It's bad. The whole thing should be wet.
I agree. And I think, honestly, are you making your own cinnamon rolls or are you getting them from somewhere else?
No.
Okay. If you ever make your own cinnamon rolls, if you undercook them just a little bit, you'll get that nice.
I've heard you can cook them in milk, too.
What?
Cook them in milk. Cook them in milk.
What are you talking about?
Cook the cinnamon rolls in milk.
I know. I need you to be more specific, though.
Okay. So let's say they're already formed.
Yeah.
Leave some room in the pan in between each one. Fill the bottom up with like an inch of milk.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Where did you learn this?
Probably a TikTok.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
And it looks really good.
Yeah.
If you live in Chicago, R&A Bread Bakers, I do.
Uh-huh.
R&A Bread Bakers has fantastic sourdough cinnamon rolls that are wet tip to toe. So that's what I want. And what was the final question? What are you doing?
Why
here?
Are you doing this?
Why am I doing this? Yeah. Because Ben asked me.
Okay, that's a good answer. While you were doing that, I was really trying hard to get this kitty cat to meow, and he just ran away.
You said you're not even trying to ignore him, annoy him at all. You're just petting him.
Yeah, and I'm petting him in a way that I know annoys him.
You gotta pinch him or something.
No, I'm not gonna pinch my child, my boy.
Pinch.
No,
it's just a little pinch.
He's just a sensitive man. He scares easily.
Does he?
What question would you ask if you were being eaten by a vampire? Because I feel like those three questions.
Well, first
are pretty understandable that everyone would ask them.
Absolutely. Well, first, we have to note how turned on he seems to be by Victoria.
Interesting.
Did you, like,
no,
there's,
I, you get
like,
the
boat, she pulls the boat back.
Yeah.
First off, do we ever see him pull the lever to make the boat reverse?
Yes, he does try to, like, back out of
there. Okay, so he's backing out. She, with her bare hand, pulls it back to the dock. He turns around, sees this woman, and he goes, Oh, hello.
You get the sense he doesn't see many pretty ladies, and the ones that he does see are done with. He's not interested in him.
And he doesn't seem to register the danger yet. She's a beautiful redhead and wearing the most 2000s outfit you can
big fur jacket
imagine, and a sequin shirt showing a little bit of belly because they're low-rise jeans.
Yeah.
And but he's not like, oh, this woman just yanked my boat back.
Yeah.
There's a woman in my swamp. Hooray.
Right.
Very Shrek, you know.
Way, and he's a little drunk too.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
But and then he doesn't realize the danger until a shirtless man has deposited himself into the boat.
He's joined the jump.
Why doesn't he have a shirt on?
Why does he compliment Waylon's jacket?
Does he wear the jacket later?
No, but I actually think he might.
I think that
for sure later in the movie you can see James, the shirtless blonde one, wearing the "Kiss Me, I Might," or no, is it Victoria? So they take his clothes.
I think that must be it. Maybe in the book or something they mentioned that he's wearing it later.
I think Victoria is wearing the shirt, and I think James might put on the jacket.
Yes.
Laurent doesn't because he's wearing his very frilly attire. I love the way he dresses.
I love that too, and I love that just thinking about if you were a vampire, like would you keep up with the times? Like Victoria seems to, or was Victoria turned recently?
We don't know, but we're pretty sure that Laurent got bit sometime in the late 1800s.
And has not changed.
And was like, nah, I'm good.
Would you keep up with the fashion?
I don't, maybe. If I was like a Cullen and I was trying to disguise the fact that I'm a vampire,
if you had to.
But if I was...
You're a murder vampire.
If I was a murder vampire, absolutely not. I would wear fancy clothes from whenever I got, because like, let's be honest, I'm not a vampire and I don't do such a wonderful job of keeping up with the fashions.
I love your shirt.
Thanks.
It's got a, what are those called?
Flamingos.
But with a nice cardigan. It's
Thank you.
It's pleasant.
It's comfortable. It's sensible.
If I was a vampire, I don't think I would be bound by the laws of even like a time period.
Mm-hmm.
I might just wear like a sack.
I think like, yeah, that's possible. Or no shirt like James does.
Absolutely. And a necklace.
I think in my real life, I sort of, within the last couple of years, overhauled my wardrobe for the first time in 6 or 7 years and sort of got to the sense of like, okay, cool. Now I'm set for the next 10 or so years.
Yep.
And I think if I were a vampire, that would be compounded. I would find some good outfits and be like, all right, cool. I'm done for 100 years.
Until
these clothes literally fall apart.
Yeah.
And then Victoria kicks him.
Yes. With all their weird fast motions.
It is weird.
The speed is so weird. Like it's trying to show their power, but it just makes them look stupid.
It just makes everything sort of vibrate really fast.
Yeah.
Even things that like, I guess like if you want to show the vampires doing that, like when they move fast, it looks like they're vibrating. Cool, whatever. But like when she kicks Waylon, he like vibrates into the back of the boat.
Yeah. I don't think it accomplishes the cool factor they're looking for.
No.
Maybe it did at the time.
I don't know.
I doubt it.
And then we can only assume they eat him.
Yes. Well, after the cool ass line, don't play with your food.
Yeah, that's true.
What a cool thing to say.
That Laurent, he's got
like
it all figured out.
He does. Yeah. He should be more in the movie.
Is he? Later on.
Don't ask me.
Listeners to the show, we'll see him reappear a few times.
I respect him.
You don't remember the baseball scene? He's in there.
He's in the baseball
scene? Yeah, he's in the baseball scene. At the very... He's part of...
What did I... Like, this must be erased and something new is there. I don't know what it is, but it's all gone.
I think you need to get back into Twilight.
I probably do.
You have a lot of catching up to do.
I don't know if I have the time for the kind of devotion Twilight demands of me.
Mm, that's interesting.
I loved it so much, I convinced myself that her outfits were cute. Like that long jean shirt she wears. I'm like, I guess that must be fashionable. Not because it's written by a Mormon.
Is fashionable now, though. Like, weirdly enough, long jean skirts are in.
Not for her.
No.
Not the way she's wearing it.
Well, and I don't think she wears one in the movies ever.
She doesn't?
No.
She doesn't wear the long jean skirt?
She is much more fashionable in the movies than she is in the books. In the movies, she looks like, I don't know. She's
Kristen Stewart. She can't help it.
And she's in a movie. Like, they got to make her look, their hero look cool and appealing. I thought I remember, and listener, if I am remembering this correctly, write in to me, but I'm pretty sure there is at some point in Twilight, the book, she is described as wearing like a khaki skirt.
Yes, a long khaki skirt and a blue top.
I ended up in my only skirt, long khaki colored, still casual. I put on the dark blue blouse he'd once complimented.
Yes.
A quick glance
parts are still in there.
The mirror told me my hair was entirely impossible, so I pulled it back into a ponytail. a long khaki skirt is the least fashionable. I was homeschooled.
And
I saw
you know.
A lot of people of various ages wear ankle length skirts made from mostly denim, but I've seen a khaki skirt in my time. And I can tell you with confidence, it don't look good on anyone.
But still, I was so deep in, I was like, it must be cool.
Clearly.
It must be cool and beautiful because he's obsessed with her and he's perfect and he's real.
Yeah. But they fortunately, or I guess unfortunately, because I would love to see how Hollywood tries to make that outfit look cool. But fortunately, they do dress her up a little more hip.
Fine.
A little more American Eagle-ish, I would say.
That's fine,
somewhere around there.
I will say, Kristen Stewart has only gotten hotter.
No, we all agree about that.
Have you seen that trailer for the new movie she's in, where she has a girlfriend and I think they murder somebody?
I don't think so.
It looks pretty good.
Okay.
What is this place? You're looking pretty good in there. There's some pretty serious lines going. Yeah? Why don't you want me working for your dad? Well, he's a psycho.
Check it out.
You heard it here first, an exclusive on the show. Let's start to wrap this thing up. If you had to give this scene a name, what would it be? And this is going to be the name of the episode, so make it good.
How many tries do I get?
As many as you need. We have an editor for this type of thing.
I'll give some options. Kiss me, I'm dead.
Kiss me, I'm dead. And just like that, I think we got it. I mean, as much as I love to hear what your other options are, I don't know that we're going to beat that.
Great, great.
That's just Twilight in general.
Yep.
The theme of that is Kiss Me, I'm Dead. But he's got the Kiss Me, I'm Irish shirt, and he is dead at the end of the movie. I really do think, as we say in the industry, you got it in one. Kiss Me, I'm Dead. Incredible. Haley Carlson, if listeners want to know more about you and where you do comedy and you're performing and stuff like that, where could they follow you on social media or maybe see you in a live show?
They could follow me on Instagram at Haley Carlson, HaleyKarlson.
There you go.
Baby doll. Don't put baby doll.
That's someone else.
It. That's somebody else.
Haley Carlson, baby doll.
You could see me on Fridays at 10 p.m. at Otherworld Theater doing Lost Realms. When is this coming out?
Sometime in March.
March 22nd, depending on when you're seeing this, you could see me in Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, the improvised musical.
Interesting.
And you can see me at a bunch of other stuff, too. Look at my Instagram.
All that information and more available at HaleyCarlson.com.
Not .com. I took my website offline.
You have a website?
I did.
Whoa.
I took it offline.
I did too. I never brought
it
online.
It wasn't
online,
worth
though.
It.
You want to follow the show on social media, you can do so at BiteSizePod_ on Instagram and TikTok. You can send an email to myfavoritetwilightpodcast@gmail.com if you want to get in touch with the show. Tell a friend, leave a review. If you had a good time, leave a 5-star review maybe. That sort of stuff really does go a long way in getting the show out there, helping the algorithm know what you are interested in. That is it. Thank you so much to Ben Oxer for editing this. Thank you to the band Swimwear Department for the use of their song Mauled to Death as our theme. And that is it. That is the end of the end of yet another episode of Bite Size. As we say at the end of every episode around here,
bite me, I'm dead.
Bite me, I'm dead. See you next time.
Kitty, meow.